I'm going to church. It's just easier.
Really?
Not the best reason for coming to church, but it is a good reason. Okay. Praise the Lord. Super. Let's pray. Father, you are wonderful. You are good. You're our Heavenly Father. You love us. You love us, and I thank you, Father, that you have given us Jesus, and he's our Savior. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory. And I thank you, Father, for giving us your Word, the Bible that speaks to us. And I thank you for the Word today that will speak to hearts, pierce hearts, open hearts, that we will see the great plan you have for us, some more little directions on how to walk it out, enjoy the freedom we have. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start out with a story. It's 1963. I'm about 9 years old. You can do math. You know how old I am. I'm about 9 years old. And it's before school. I'm home. I'm downstairs. I'm one of six kids. And my dad is in the little powder room off the kitchen. My dad lived in boxers and a t-shirt and a bathrobe in the morning until the man finally dressed. And he dressed up in a suit and he'd go to Manhattan. That's where he worked. But, you know, that's dad's usual attire. So he's in the bathroom. I could hear the water running. And the radio was on back then. Transistor radios. You know how old I am. So the radio's on and I don't know who said it. It was either my mom or my brother. And they yelled out, "Dad, Dad, the president was shot." JFK, November 1963. I watched my dad come out of the bathroom. And he was a quiet man, unless he was yelling at you. But he was a quiet man. Didn't have a lot of conversations going on. And I watched the look on his face. It was horror. It was shock. Let me say shock. I looked at him and I had never seen that look on his face. Shock. And as the weeks went by, you know, we had the TV and all that stuff. By the way, that's when we got a color TV. I remember that. As a kid, that's what I remember. But I remember looking at my dad going, wow, something rocked him. Something rocked him to the core. You could tell by the look on his face. So we have things happen and they shock us. And a couple of weeks ago, Santa Fe, Texas, there was another shooting. Another shooting. And that always rocks me, guys. It just rocks my heart. It just shakes me. Those are things that shake you. And yet, you'd probably say, yeah, but, you know, Pastor D, I was reading some statistic, like that was the 22nd shooting we've had in schools. That's sad. And but it shocks me, and it should shock you. And I thought about this young man that went into the school and shot up these students. And I thought, man, he needed Jesus. He needed a Savior. He needed someone to show him the love of God. So, yes, we have this happen more and more and more. But you all know that's not what God wants, right? We have a good God. That is not God and the plan of God. That's not what God wants. But how many of you would say with me, hey, the culture's getting worse and worse and worse and worse, right? It is. It's just looking pretty bad sometimes. I'm going, wow, what's this saying? Oh, we're going to hell in a basket or something like that. That's the only time I get to yell hell in church, you know. Anyway, kids' ministry is so fun when you get to say a bad word. But interesting, as much as you would say, yes, the culture is bad, worse, 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 I believe, and actually I know, that you are here for such a time as this to be an influencer in the culture. You are to be here influencing the culture. And yes, it's bad. But you're not to just go, well, Pastor D, it's so bad. It's worse. It's getting bad. It's worse. Yeah, it is. But God has placed you with the King of Kings, the power of God, the anointing of God, the Jesus inside of you to be an influencer. So everybody look at your neighbor and say, hey, you're to be an influencer. You're to be an influencer, okay? God wants us to do something. Now, culture. Let's talk a little bit about culture. Culture, man, culture Shoot, you talk to every generation, they'll say it's bananas. But, you know, I was raised only in the United States. And if I were to go, and I've been opportunities to go overseas, I would see different culture. And I'm going, oh, that's really different. And I think it was last summer or the summer before, we had Jeff and Cindy Weber, my friends that teach a Bible school in Singapore. And actually, I've known them because they were our first missionaries to support. And they were in Estonia first, and then for 10 years, and now they're in Singapore. And I go, wow, what's it like over in Singapore versus Estonia? They go, oh man, it's real different. Singapore is one of the largest cities. It is just super on, you know, big city, just amazing. And Estonia was pretty, it was coming out of the Iron Curtain, and it was just two different ends of the spectrum. So as we were talking about how different the culture was, it was really a culture shock for them, because Cindy's actually from Lancaster County. And then she's going to Estonia, and then she goes to Singapore. And she said, Dee, that's not so bad. We're good. But they have some other friends, Caminettis, that were missionaries in Italy for, a decade or more. They're now in... They're in Papua New Guinea now. But anyway, they were talking with him. Cindy and Jeff were talking to the Caminettis. And they go, you want to know a different culture? First off, Italy is such a big country. You can go from the south to the middle to the north, and you're hitting different cultures. But they said this. Now, y'all, I didn't like this. So hopefully you don't like this either. But they said in their culture, when the summer months come, everybody just takes off. So much so, they don't go to church. So they close church down for 3 months in the summer. Yeah. Culture. What? I get upset when you disappear for a holiday. They go for the whole holiday season. It's just, you know, so cultures can be different, right? Cultures can be different. But I want to talk to you about, yes, they're different. I don't care how different they are. But how do we influence the culture that we live in? Write that down, because that's the main thing. How do you influence the culture that you live in? How do you influence it, okay? And I believe, and I know, and I'm going to prove it in scriptures, that Jesus wants you to be an influencer. Jesus wants you to be an influencer of the culture. And, you know, you're like, oh, yeah, Pastor Anita, but it's so bad. Did you ever read your Old Testament? We were talking about reading our Old Testament. You talk about reading your Old Testament. They did some bad stuff back then. Their culture, they're sacrificing kids to idols. That was their culture. City culture. Go to the city and this is what we do. Okay, so it's bad. It's always been bad. It has always been bad. The culture's already bad. But listen, it doesn't matter how bad it is. God always has a people that he places in the culture so you can influence them for the Lord. Raise your hand. You're an influencer. Raise your other hand if you live in a culture. It's so bananas. Yeah. Okay. So this is my question. I'm going to say this over and over. How can we as a church be an influencer of the culture that we live in? Okay. Now, sometimes you're like, oh, YCF church, how are they going to influence? Today, I'm not talking about YCF. I'm talking about you're the church. You're the church. So the question again is, how can we, the church, influence the culture that you live in every day? Yeah. Okay. So praise God, Pastor D. I can't wait to hear this. This is so much fun. I'm going to say it again. How do we, as an individual, when you leave this place, influence the culture you live on Monday? How many of you live in some kind of workplace? How do you influence that workplace? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, wherever. How do you influence your, my kids are all downstairs, but I, same challenge to them. How do you influence your school? How do you influence, any places, the grocery store, the gas station. I was at the store the other day. You know, how do you influence the culture, the people? Question mark? That is the question. All right. So, did you know there's over 400,000 churches in the United States? So we do church. We do a lot of church. Think about that. And I was just in this little town for a wedding yesterday, and in the 4 blocks radius, how many churches do we pass? Like a half dozen. Just, you know, so we do church. But the thing is, how do you influence the culture where God has you, where God takes you all throughout the week? How do you do this? Now, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. Pastor D, this is going to be hard. No. I really want to inspire you. I want to just where you go, yeah, Pastor D, I think I can be a better influencer to the places that God takes me through the week, to school, to work, you know, wherever he goes. Yeah, Pastor D, high five. I think I can do this. So I'm going to give you some scriptures, some tools, and some answers to this. Praise the Lord. I'm going to give you a big, long definition. I did not give it to the boys to put up here. And the girl. Where's the girl behind the booth? There's a hand back there. Hey, Emily. You just saw the hand. Okay. All right. Let me give you a definition of culture. I have two, and I couldn't just nail it down, so I gave you two. Definition for culture. The customary beliefs, social forms, the material traits of a racial, religion, or social group. But this is the one I like. It is the set of shared attitudes, values, goals, and practices that characterize an institution or an organization. I know. I just like giving you a whole bunch of words to think on. Say, Pastor, that was really good. I feel so smart. Okay. Look it up later. Culture. Culture is like the buzzword for the last 5 years. Pastor Sherry and I go to a minister's conference where we learn how to do church better. And the last couple of years, like, what's the culture of your church like, Pastor D? Culture? What's the culture of your staff like? Culture? Yeah, so I'm on it now. I know what they're talking about. Or you might even hear this in the workplace. What's the culture of your workplace like? So this is the buzzword, and we're going to tear it apart with the Jesus side of it, okay? Now, the interesting thing about culture of a group, I'm going to tell you a story. I've told this before. Oh, I don't even know how long ago. Jack and I were going to go on a scuba diving trip, and he decided, well, if I'm going to be down there, I'll go preach. It was in the country of Curacao. So he's speaking, going to speak in this church, and we go early. Guests go early. The locals come late. It cracks me up all the time. So we go early. Plus, we're the guest speaker. We go to this church, and we walk in. Walk in the front door. Nobody said hello to us. Walked it down the hall, down the aisle. Nobody said hello to us. Okay, we're the guest speaker. Guess where we're sitting? On the front row. We sit down in the front row. Nobody speaks to us. Nobody said hello to us. Yeah. Okay, so I thought, man, they're really mean. They're cold. And you do the rest of the story is I'm having an argument with Jack, going, we're at the wrong place. What are you kidding me? We're at the wrong place. Go outside and look. So I can be a little persistent. So he finally is like, all right. So he stands up. You know, it's before church starts, and there's people coming in. So he stands up, goes out, and I said, there's a big sign on the front of the church. I go read the sign. We're at the wrong church. Comes back in, sits down. He goes, we are at the right church. That hurt my heart. And I came back to YCF, and every time I talk with our greeters and Coffee Connect, they've probably all heard this story more than enough. Pam probably told Pam this story. She can tell better than I can. The culture of that church, I didn't want here. I did not want that to say, hey, the culture of YCF is cold and mean. They don't talk to you. All right? I don't want that. So we started making sure. And making a shift in the last couple of years. How long have we been doing Coffee and Connect ministry back there? You have to have the answer because I don't. No, it's more than that. 2. Ah, you guys are doing such a good job. Okay. So, yeah, we're just going to say forever. But we started thinking about the culture of YCF. And are we a culture that shines with Jesus and love and warm and friendly? All right. So, you know, or have we become inward? Inward meaning like you can come to church, but you just can't fit in. And you would think that's disgusting. People don't do that, but I tell you, that church I walked in and no one sat down, no one walked, talked to us as we came in and sat down. So that's how I felt. I felt like it was an us four no more place. And I didn't fit. But I wanted to fit. How many like to fit in? I like everybody to love me, like me, fit in, you know? You do. You just lied and didn't raise your hand. You do. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we've worked at this. We talk about this. We bring this up. And sometimes I smack your hand and I go, is this a place that welcomes everybody? Welcomes everybody. And we shine and, okay, I'm getting ahead of my message. Praise the Lord. Or are we mean and unfriendly? All right. Now, how many of you have ever been to Handel's Ice Cream? It's in South Queen Street. Spry. Is that Spry? Yeah. Awesome ice cream. I am making an advertisement. I know you're not supposed to do this, but incredible. Big, 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 big. Okay. I love it. If you have not, you ought to go there. They're a little pricey. It's cheaper than a Starbucks though. Maybe. Whatever. It's really good. Okay. So it's interesting. It is amazing, terrific ice cream, but you can go there and they could have one bad incident happen where maybe an employee starts yelling at some customer or starts making fun at her, and it just spreads all over social media. Now, is Handel's ice cream a bad place? No, they got great ice cream. Do they have great employees? Yeah, except for one, all right? But it can spread, and then it tells everybody, you got all on social media. Ah, don't go there, they do. And then, it's just, they have to go, Handel's has got to clean up the mess. Because that will really set a culture that don't go to Handel's Messiah. That's the yeah. Handel's Ice Cream, praise the Lord. Don't go there. Don't go there, all right? So, praise the Lord. That can happen sometimes at churches. And that church that I went to in the Caribbean there, if I had to describe it, and not gossip, because, Pastor D, we don't gossip, complain, because I did a month of that, talking about that. But it can just spread. And we don't want to do that, right? We don't want to gossip about somebody's bad stuff. We want to only tell the good reports. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, I don't want to really talk about that today. What I want to talk about is what happens when you walk out of this place and Monday and you walk into work. How are you going to influence your workplace? What happens if you're going to school? Well, how are you going to influence that? What happens if you're hanging out with the in-laws and the outlaws? How are you going to influence that? What happens when you're at don't go to Walmart on a Friday night. It is so bad. Okay, but how are you going to influence that? How are you going to influence? And you can influence that. You can. Praise God. One or don't go. But so, and it's real interesting. John 17. I'm just going to read it. It's real quick. You all know this. John 17. This is Jesus talking, and he really starts this long prayer. Of course, when you read it in the Bible, it looks long. It probably wasn't that long. And it starts in John chapter 16. Jesus is praying. John chapter 17, he dives into this and he says, they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Anybody ever hear that scripture? And therefore, we always say, hey, I'm in the world. By the way, you are in the world, but you're not of the world. I'm in the world. You're sitting there. Your feet are on the planet. You're still in the world. Okay? You are in the world. You are in the world. And Jesus is saying, but you're not of the world. So people get goofy. And I really want to know what Jesus means by that. Like, what does Jesus really mean when he says, hey, you're in the world, but you're not of the world? Because some people will say, well, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. So you need to dress differently. So everybody will know that you're different and that you're not in the world and you're okay. Really? Is that what Jesus said? Or how about this? You're not allowed to wear makeup because you're different. 1 hour ago, this looks much better. Makeup's awesome. And yet some people say, well, listen, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. So you shouldn't wear makeup because you should be different because you're not of the world. I don't think so. I don't think that's what Jesus meant. Okay, so then they talk about cutting your hair, but they really beat up on women a lot, And I'm going, really? Is that what Jesus meant? You're in the world. Yes, you're alive, you're breathing, but you're not of the world. Is that what he meant? I have to do? I don't think so. I really don't think so. Because listen, you can wear your hair any way someone tells you. You can get to, you can put, not wear makeup and you can act a certain way. But listen, because they said you need to do this, you need to do that. But if you're not acting like Jesus, if you're not acting like a follower of Jesus, and you're not, and you got your hair this way and you're not wearing makeup and you're wearing those cargo skirts and necks up to here, you just disqualified anything, everything. Just, I don't care if you got your hair the way they said, because, and you're like, well, I'm different. Your hair and your clothes. So I believe in wearing modesty. I really do. I don't want your, you know, all that stuff. Praise the Lord. Okay. Well, I was listening to a guest speaker the other day, and she's a pastor's kid raised in church, third generation. She says, you know what? Churches have some of the meanest people I've ever met. I was rolling on the floor. And then the Lord said, you shouldn't laugh at that. So, question. Can we be in the world, not of the world, and still hold firm to our beliefs and love big? Can we be in the world, not conform to the culture, not conform to the culture that's out there, still stand firm on the things that we believe? This is what you believe, right? And love people, love the world, love the culture. Well, the answer is yes. Sometimes we don't do it, though. All right. So here's my big idea, my main thing I want you to get and just stick with you all week. If you want to put it on your mirror or wherever you put little sticky notes to remind you, here's it is. How do we stand firm and love well in this culture without compromise? I'm still working on it. Everybody's like, so serious. Yeah. How do you stand firm? Firm on the word, okay? Love real well and not compromise. Not compromise like the culture. Not compromise like the culture, okay? So stand firm is like, hey, better yet. This is not stand firm. Hey, we believe whatever. You know, anything's fine. That's not standing on the word. This word is actually black and white. It is really. Mine is black and white. But listen, there's yeses and nos in this Bible. All right? There's yeses and nos. And as you get into the word, you'll find out. And Jesus is so loving about this stuff. But stand firm. So yes, we need to stand firm on what the word of God says. All right? But the second part is, how do you love people? Why you stand firm? How do you love people while you stand firm? Okay? How do I love well at the job? How do I love really well with my family some days? How do I love well wherever I'm going? How do I love people really well and still stand firm? All righty. Praise the Lord, D. Yeah. Now, it's really interesting. How do we love that boy who went into that school and shot those students? We stand firm, but how do you love? Well, you know the real easy one? Start praying. Pray for that boy. Pray for someone to reveal Jesus to him. Pray for someone to tell him who the Savior is. And that, because listen, Jesus would have done that. Matter of fact, Jesus did that. Do you know, people would come mauling all over Jesus. And they'd walk up to him and they'd say, would you heal me? And he's like, yes. Bad people would come up to Jesus. Would you heal me? We had tax collectors. We had Roman centurions, whatever you call them, the guys, the soldiers there. They were not the nice guys back then. And they would come up, Jesus, would you heal me? What did he say? Yes, sure. Okay. So how do we stand firm on what we believe? And how do we love? We're going to do it like Jesus does. Praise God. I want to do what Jesus does. You know, or otherwise we're going to be like, well, that boy went into that school and he shot up them and I hate him. Look what he did. That is not standing firm and loving well. All right. And I'll never forget the shooting that was in Amish country, Lancaster, excuse me, Nickel Mines. Jack and I were actually flying over to Lancaster to meet with a minister who ministers to the Amish that have been asked to leave the denomination because they believe in Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So we were going to go meet with them, and we're flying over there, ready to land, and man, the sky went bananas. They are helicopters. There's all sorts of things all of a sudden up in the air, and I'm thinking, ooh, we got to get down. And then we got the call. You need to bring your plane down. So we landed, and that's where we found out about that. And I was so touched by those families. They went up and said, we forgive. We forgive. Yeah. So I think they were acting. I think they were standing firm and loving well. Standing firm. And you can do it and cry. That's okay. Stand firm and love. Praise the Lord. So, do you love well as a follower of Jesus Christ? All right? Or are you turning off people? I'm standing firm in what I believe. I don't care. All right? And you're standing firm. But how about we stand firm on the word and we love? We love people. Pray for them. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Pray for your enemies. Okay? So, in other words, not compromising what the word of God says, right, and on what we believe, and then showing love. And listen, the Holy Spirit will show you how to do it. I'm going to give you a few things, but here's my questions. How do you influence the culture wherever you are? How are you influencing it, okay? Because you can write this down. You are either a culture influencer or you're a culture conformer. You are either going to be influencing the culture wherever you are, the people that God puts in your path, okay? All right? Or you're just conforming, all right? How many of you ever played with Play-Doh? I love Play-Doh. We only played with Play-Doh the day we were going to mop the floor because it was all over the place. But we had one of those, you'd shove the Play-Doh in here and then you'd put the spaghetti mold in the front, and then you squish it down and it would come out looking like spaghetti. Okay? Yeah. That was so much fun. We made that lump of dough conform through there. So you are either going to come out looking like spaghetti and conforming to the culture, or God wants you to come out and shine like Jesus. All right? And it doesn't mean people walk all over you. But he'll speak to you on how to do it, plus me. I'm going to give you a few points here. All right. So, now this is interesting. Hear me. You're either two kinds of people. You can become this radical, extreme Christian. Hi, I love Jesus, and you're a sinner going to hell. Okay. And you need to, and you see that person walking in the room. You're like, I'm out of here. Okay, now I appreciate extreme love for Jesus, all right? But words spoken, due seasons, like apples of gold. And it's the love of God that leads to repentance, all right? So sometimes we have these extreme, and you're just, and you are turning people off. Anybody, do not point. Anybody know anybody like that? So last time it was 2 years ago, I was in Kansas City. We were downtown, and there was some guy just screaming on a bullhorn, just all the condemning scriptures. And I said, buddy, but there's a whole bunch of really beautiful scriptures that'll draw people to Jesus because they need a Savior. And he was just, and I actually, it hurt on the inside, and I was embarrassed. And I was this close to saying something when Cassie saw me and she goes, Mom, you're not in a good place. I said, all right. Okay, got to be in a good place. Speak the truth. Amen. So we have these extremes where you're just really radical and just turning everybody off. Or else I've seen this. The other extreme is you're just pulling back. I'm not going to say anything. And hopefully they'll recognize I love Jesus. And besides, I put it on my Facebook profile. I'm a Christian. High five. Good job. Okay. So we got these two extremes. And yet Jesus says there is a way to stand firm on the word. And there is a way also to love really big. So one more bad story. Here we go. I've also seen churches do this all over the world. For years and years and years. Churches are, they're not the extreme where they're just, sometimes we're just bad. Churches say, hey, listen. You need to conform and be just like Jesus before you can be a part of anything. So, girl, I can't believe you're wearing pants to church and you've got jewelry on and do you have a tattoo? Oh my gosh! You can't come to church. It has happened. Okay. Pastor D, you better keep moving. You're going to say something you're not supposed to say. Praise the Lord. Let me see. Where should I go here? So, you know, this is what churches have done, and they're getting better. Hallelujah. Because I'm praying. We're praying. Everybody's praying. And churches, you know, we're growing. Okay, but listen to this. How many remember that guy that Jesus, of course, Jesus healed lots of guys, but this guy that Jesus healed, and then the guy got healed, and Jesus says, pick up your mat and go. So the guy picked up his mat. Because he's healed now and he's trucking around town. And you know, the churchy people come up to him and says, what are you doing carrying your mat on Sunday Sabbath? And he says, well, that guy over there told me. Don't you love it? He told me to do it. He didn't even know Jesus as personal. He just knew this guy healed me. Isn't that crazy? Okay. So a little while goes on. Okay, they don't tell you how many days or minutes or hours. A little while goes on, and Jesus finds that guy who he healed. He goes, wow, how you doing? Hey, man, you're looking good. You healed? You liking that? Yeah. Oh, yeah, thank you. What's your name? Jesus. Oh, yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then Jesus whips around and nicely says, don't go doing what you used to do, buddy. Okay? But he didn't smack him first thing. Did he smack? And that wasn't a smack. That was so sweet. I have smacked, okay? Any of you have smacked people with a word, and that's not nice. Okay, but listen, he first actually graced him, showed mercy to this guy, and healed him. All right, and then later on, at the right time, said, hey, you ought not to be doing that, okay? So grace is great. Well, Pastor D, you know, yes, grace is wonderful. Grace is what God gives you. To be nice to people and show mercy to people. Praise the Lord. Amen. And you know, the thing about grace, when grace has been poured onto my life, when I've realized that Jesus died for me, and I listen, I do bad things. I've done bad things, but Jesus died for me. And I'm just melting because I realized he loved me that much. Guess what I want to do? I want to conform to him. Not because you got beat on the head with a Bible, don't do this, don't do that. But that's that love that draws people. And I love the love of God. Okay, so moving on. Praise the Lord. I'm like, hallelujah. So I'm just going to say this. We shouldn't make it hard for people to follow or come to know Jesus and follow him. We're not supposed to make it hard, all right? Not to, you know, hey, if you quit smoking, then you can start serving. I didn't read that. Anybody read that in the Bible? No, it's not in the Bible, okay? Listen, when you receive Jesus, salvation is a what thing? It's a heart thing. Salvation hits your heart. It takes you on the inside and changes you. And then after it's on the inside, it'll start working on the outside. It'll start working on the outside. Praise God. So why do we make it hard and say, hey, I got 20 things on this list. You get all those 20 things and you can come and be an usher. You can actually stand there and say hello to people. Cut me a break. Say, we're not to make it hard. All right. Jesus doesn't make it hard. Oh, praise the Lord. All right. Now make it hard for people to receive Jesus and to serve him. They did that in the book of Acts. Open up your Bible to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. I have it written down here. Acts chapter 15. The Jews who had received Jesus. That was the first bunch that came in. The Jews that had received Jesus. Truly the only messianic bunch, all right? The Jews that received Jesus were telling the Gentiles, the non-Christians, the Gentiles, hey, if you want to receive Jesus, you got to do this, this, and this. And Peter gets a whiff of this. You know, big mouth Peter. I'll bet you nothing slid by him slowly. So Peter gets a whiff of this, and he says, Acts chapter 15, verse 19. Acts 15, verse 19. All right, it says, it is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Did you see the word not? Did you see the word difficult? Not make it difficult. In other words, why do we make it so hard for people to receive or even just grow? Why do we do it? He says, y'all, don't do that. All right. Matter of fact, how about we do it the Bible way? Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you believe in your heart, did it say do 20 things before you? If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. Did it say if you believe in your heart and you quit doing this and quit doing that and confess the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved? Everybody say no. No, no. It simply says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe that he is rose and raised from the dead, you'll be saved. That's not hard. Let me tell you, I am so glad it's not hard, because that was the scripture somebody gave to me 40 years ago, and I didn't really understand anything else. I mean, I'm not even sure I understood all that. I just took it. That's a good deal. That was a good deal. And then I started, got a Bible. It took me about a year to get a Bible. And then about a year later, I started reading it because, you know. So anyway, but it was easy. It's not hard. We are not to make it hard for people to receive Jesus or even to grow in Jesus or to serve Jesus. Praise the Lord. Okay. Salvation's a heart thing, and it is not your job to judge. Look at your friend and say, no judging. Not your job to judge. Listen, when God moves on a heart, God, you can fix them. I can't. It is your, like I want to say, it's your problem, not mine. But listen, when God starts moving on a heart, you just trust God. Start praying for that person. And I dare you, after that person who's a total wreck mess, who prays that prayer, ask Jesus in heart, why don't you come along and be their friend? And you know that, the D word? Disciple them. That's what it means. Come along them, all right? I'm not going to bore you with the people that took me messy, came along my side, taught me Jesus, shined like Jesus. Woo, praise God. Okay. Hey, how about, let's turn to another scripture. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Oh, am I skipping pages here? I'm having so much fun. I sure did. All right. So let's talk about how we become a culture influencer. How do we become a culture influencer? I think I skipped. Maybe I'll back up here. I don't know. Yeah. Okay, I'm skipping that. Praise the Lord. Matthew 5, verse 13, the NIV translation. It says, you are the salt of the earth. Everybody look at me. Say, I'm the salt. How many of you have thought about that? I'm the salt. I don't think about that. I'm the salt. And yet he writes here, you are the salt of the earth. All right. Now, when Jesus wrote this, he was talking to his disciples, but he's also talking to anybody who would believe Jesus afterwards, receive him. So he's talking to you. You can't say, that's just for Peter, because you know, Peter really needed some salt. No, no, no. He's talking to you. So say, I am the salt. I am the salt. Okay. I got to find my scripture here. I'm the salt. I'm the salt. All right. So, I am the salt. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except for to be thrown out and trampled on. So now when I read this, I am the salt. And if it's not salty anymore, I have to look at this and go, am I okay? Am I doing salt? Am I being salty? All right, now don't look at your neighbor and say, are you being salty? You take this and you go, am I being salty? Am I being a culture influencer? That's what he's really saying, okay? So let's keep on reading. I'm going to read it again. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? All right, now, praise the Lord. I love that. Praise the Lord. If it loses it. Okay. What do you mean lose it, Jesus? What do you mean lose your saltiness? I ran out of Morton's salt? No. It means if you're the light. Oh, I'm ahead of myself. You're the salt. And if you're not being salty, your effectiveness in the places God has you, the culture, and you're not being salty, just kind of becomes less effective. If you're not being the salt, you're being less effective in the culture around you. And he's saying, hey, you're the salt. You're the salt. And I'm like, okay, praise the Lord. Jump down to verse 14. You are the light of the world. Praise the Lord. Now, did he say, someday you're going to be the light of the world? Did he say, someday you're going to be the salt? Ta-da! You are now. The moment you received Jesus, you became the salt. The moment you received Jesus, you became the light. All right, not someday. Someday when you clean up your act, you get your hair cut the right way, you stop wearing makeup and those high heels. No, okay? Praise the Lord. The moment you received Jesus, you became the salt and the light. Praise the Lord. So, some of you might be thinking, well, Pastor D, my light's not shining so bright the last couple of days or the last year. I'm not so bright. Hey, listen, it is so dark out there, even a dim light shines. All right? Don't discredit yourself. You are the light. You are the salt. You're looking so light. I love it. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Where am I? Here we go. All right. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither can people light their lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. It's the same way. Let your light shine before others so they may see your good deeds and glorify God. All right. So you got to know and understand you are the what? And the, yeah, salt and light. You guys got it. All right. You have to understand that. And you have to understand that, oh, yes, I am to be salty. Not just walk around with your Morton salt. You're to be salty to the people that God puts all over you, all around you. And you're to be the light. All right. So shine your light. I want to read this out of the Message Bible because it just really kicks home really good. And it says in the Message Bible, same verses. Let me tell you why you're here. You ever wonder why you're here? Why am I here, Lord? What? You know, I'm still here. Why? You know, if you're just, why am I in church? Why am I here? Well, he tells you. He says, let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the flavor of God on this earth. Woo! You're here to be salt seasonings to bring out the flavor of God on this earth. That means being salty, okay? Praise God, praise God. Now, I don't want to read that part. Now, how many people like salt? Okay, I love sugar. But I had a piece of meat the other day and I was like, where's that salt shaker? All right, I like salt. You think you don't like salt until the doctor says, hey, you're not allowed to have any salt. Here's a salt substitute. Do you ever taste those things? Nothing is a substitute for salt. Think on that one. That should be my t-shirt for the day. Okay. But really, that's not what he's talking about, but that was fun. He's talking about, when he wrote this, you know, they didn't have refrigeration. You know, that double-wide ice cube maker water thing you got there in your house. I love mine. They didn't have that. They didn't have refrigeration. So they used salt to preserve food. And sometimes they dig a hole, salt up that meat. I was going to say ham, but this is for the Jewish bunch here. Okay, salt up that meat and that fish and stick it in the ground. It would preserve it. The salt would preserve things, okay? So he's telling you, you are salt and you're to preserve things. So now you're going to say, well, what am I supposed to preserve? What am I supposed to be preserving? All right, so you are the salt and salt is to preserve. So what am I preserving? You are to preserve the God culture, the kingdom of God, wherever you go. You are to preserve this wonderful Jesus. And you are to preserve it where you go. And the culture is not, the bad culture is not to preserve you. You're not to look like the culture. You're supposed to go get salty all over people with God, with his word, with his love, all right? That's how you do it. So I'm a preserver and I'm salty. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So my question is, how do you preserve? You know, I've got Jesus in my life and I've got this light in my life. I got this Jesus. I'm salty. How do I preserve this God culture? ooh, on the inside of me when I go to work. Okay, got to think on that, all right? So next, let's read verse 14. Here we go. Keep reading, Pastor D. Here's another way to put it. You are to be the light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. You are to go public with it. I love that. I'm not going to tell anybody I'm Jesus. I'm just going to let them figure it out. Just, you know, write it on Facebook. No, go public with it. Okay, I'll tell you more about that. But go public, didn't that? I read that. We're to go public with it, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you are, okay? You don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you out on the light stand. Now I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, so shine! If you've received Jesus, you're to shine, okay, shine. Keep an open house. Be generous with the ones you love. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up to God, this generous Father. Okay. So I'm a light, and I'm to shine. And if I'm shining, it'll prompt people to want to know the Lord. It will prompt people. I'm reading that scripture. You'll prompt people to open up to God. Praise the Lord. All right. So we're to go public and we're to shine. And I tell you, as far as YCF, as the core of us, I want to do more of this. I want to do more things. You know, our little movie thing, it is so little. I have like some big things I want to do where people will say, "Ooh, they're shining." And you know how you do that? You serve other people. The youth church, they have served in raking leaves and I know a couple of my guys here have helped people move. You do those things, you serve, that's letting your light shine and people will be open to who God is. Cause listen, the world's mean and bad and they're not doing that. And we should be doing that. Okay. But the thing I want to ask, how are you standing firm, loving people, letting your light shine, and doing good deeds? Because those good deeds just it's like they suck people into who God is, and they want to know. They want to know, all right? And I know a bunch of you. I know you. I know you're doing those things, but I want to inspire you to really think and just think on it all the time. Think on it all the time, all right? And praise God. So we're talking about salt and light. I gave you a couple scriptures about Jesus, from the New Testament. Well, that's the New Testament. But I'm going to talk about Paul. Paul says almost the same thing, okay? So open up to Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, and this is out of the Amplified. Colossians 4. Paul just takes us to another kick, all right? He says, "Let your speech all the time be gracious, pleasant," all right? "Season with salt so that you will know how to answer each one who questions you." So your speech should be sweet. So I was driving yesterday and I cut this guy off and I didn't even need my windows down to know that he was not seasoned and salt and pleasant with his words with me. I was like, "What? I didn't mean to cut you off." Okay. And so this is a challenge in every part of your life. Let your speech at all times be gracious and pleasant, seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to answer each one who questions. The J.B. Phillips is just a really cool old translation, and it says this: be wise with your behavior towards non-Christians. Anybody ever wake up this morning and go, "I want to be wise"? Yep. Today's Sunday morning. It's a little dreary outside. I want to be wise. You ever think about that? I want to be wise. Okay, take it to the next one. I want to be wise to the culture around me. I want to be wise in my speech to the people I go to work with. I want to be wise. I want to be wise. God, I need some wisdom on what to say to the people you put in my path. Everybody say, "I want to be wise." I want to be wise. All right. Now listen, wise and weird, two different things. Here, let me finish this whole thing before you start throwing things at me, okay? You're at the grocery store and you walk up to this nice little lady, young lady, and you go, "Oh, young lady, I have a word for you." She doesn't know you from Adam. A word? What the heck are you talking about? Okay. Now, all of you believers, do you know what she's talking about? Yeah. Got a word for me? Okay, brother, lay hands on me. Okay. But to someone who doesn't know Jesus, and I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe in words of knowledge and all that stuff here. But it's about presentation. Okay. I'm going to do the same thing. So how about I see this lady and I don't know, she's bawling at the check register or something like that. Instead of saying, "Hey, are you doing okay? What's going on? I just could tell you're just..." Okay, my presentation just was like, she's like grabbing my hand and you know, and I just go boom, right in there. All right? It's presentation, okay? Wise and weird. Everybody say wise. Weird. I'm not weird, okay? I just had to say that. We are not weird, okay? And you can operate in all those gifts with people who don't know Jesus. Just present it so they don't think you're weird, all right? And just... okay, praise the Lord. Okay, where was I reading? Okay, praise the Lord. Be wise in your behavior towards non-Christians and make the best possible use of your time. Speak pleasantly to them, okay? Speak pleasantly to them, okay? Now, it's Sunday morning. Oh, worship. Oh, Jesus, I love you. Oh, Jesus, I just feel your presence. Oh, Lord, you're so wonderful. Woo, Jesus, you're so great. And then you go home. Sunday's really cool. Just have a great time with the dog and the kids, you know. And then Monday comes and somebody at work does something. You go, "Buddy, you ever do that again? You're going to be sorry." Be wise. Speak nice with your words to those that don't know Jesus, okay? Now, if they thought you were a Christian, they are really thinking now, okay? So again, speak nicely. What does it say? Speak pleasantly. Speak pleasantly. And that's why you have the grace of God. God, I just want to chew their head off, chop it off, and just... And you go, "God, I need your help. I thank you for your grace that empowers me to say pleasant or say nothing." Right? Say nothing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Wisdom. Ask for wisdom. All right. I do this all the time. I'll be seeing somebody and I'll go, "God," you know, sometimes it's like this pounding on your heart. "God wants you to talk to this person." I'm like, "Oh, I don't know what to say." He goes, "Good. Now I'll talk." I really think God likes us when we say, "I don't know what to say." So I'll go up and say something and just sort of present Jesus. And I don't have to tell you all these stories, but I'll present Jesus. And then it's just beautiful. Then I go home and I'm like, "Dang, I shouldn't have said that. I wish I would have said this." Or somebody, I should have talked to them. All right. Don't beat yourself up. Okay. Don't beat yourself up. You weren't perfect. You are not perfect. Phew. I am not perfect and you all are not perfect. Okay. All right. And that's okay. We're going to learn, but just say, "God, I need your wisdom. I know you want me to talk to that lady back there with a ponytail." Okay. But God, what should I say? Just ask him. All right. Ask him like that. Okay. And listen, he will give you opportunities to talk to people. God, this is your day. I'm your servant. Do you know how many of the epistles start with Paul, a servant of God? Paul, a bondservant. I'm like, servant? Oh, that means I don't get to pick what I want. Yeah, all right, Dee. That's exactly what I wrote that there. Okay? So I'm a servant of the Lord. Give me wisdom, Lord. Who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to be salty with? Who do you want me to shine with? All right? Okay? Because the things that I say, I want them to influence you to be drawn to the Lord. The things that I do, the things that I say, I want to influence you so you'll be drawn to the Lord Jesus. Not to me, be drawn to the Lord Jesus. Or are you influencing people when you're driving by? What is that? Far from God. And I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Working on it. Working on it. Good thing they're not in the car when you're the car over here, okay? But if it were, did my words influence someone towards the Lord Jesus? Okay, don't answer that. Just write that down. And your spouse is like, "I told you so." Okay. If you're taking notes, Jesus said this, Paul said this. He said salt. He's talking about salt. And salt is what you say. Salt is what you say. Salt is your speech. All right. Salt is your speech. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And listen, you should always have gracious words. I'm working on it, guys. I'm still working on this. Some days score 10. Some days score 2. All right. But I'm working on it. Praise the Lord. So your words should be gracious to people that they would want to have what you have, that they would want to have you. Okay. The second thing is light. Do you know that salt and light are totally different? Salt's what you say. Light is how you live. How do you live? How do you live? Salt's how you live. All right. Remember in Matthew 5, it says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify God. So how do I live? Do I have good deeds that glorify God? Oh, I had a friend. Okay. I heard this story. This is not too long. They live in this development and they've got a fence. And the neighbor has this dog who dug a hole, and it dug a hole into their yard, goes under there, and then poops on their yard. Okay? So they had words. My Christian friend had words with the dog owner. Only thing, they weren't words. It wasn't good. And she came to me and told me, she said, man, I really blew it. I said, yes, you did. That was, you should not have said that. Okay? Okay. All right. Why did I tell you that story? Because praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, good deeds. Everybody say good deeds. That means let your light shine. Okay, do you have good deeds at your workplace? Do you have good deeds at school? Are you letting your light shine? And better yet, can you let your light shine big? Sure you can. I'm going to let my light shine. I'm going to let my light shine so you know that there's something that you don't have. His name is Jesus, all right? I'm going to wrap up real quick. Oh, yes, I'm going to do this real quick. Okay, ready? Three things that you can do to influence the culture around you. Three things. Really easy. Really, really. Three things, okay? But I'm going to read a couple scriptures because, you know, praise the Lord. John 13:34. I give you a new commandment. This is Jesus, and he's got this whole bunch with him. He says, hey, I got a new commandment. And you know that new commandment in the Greek, it means brand new replaces the old. So I'm going to give you a new commandment that takes care of those 10 commandments and those 600 other rules, and it just puts it all into one. I like that. Can anybody stand up and do the 10 commandments, like, and not forget one? I can't. So I'm so glad Jesus said, listen, I have a new that takes care of all that, just one. And the one I can do, I can do the one. I can do the one. I don't even need a t-shirt. I can do the one. Okay, so Jesus says, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another. That's easy to remember. Fun to do. Okay, love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this, all men will know that we are my disciples or Christians, if you love one another, all right? If you keep on showing God's love among yourself. All right. So sometimes people say, oh, yeah, love one another. The church, you know, church, he's talking to the church, you know, this bunch here. We should love one another. Yeah, baby, we should be loving one another in church. Absolutely. Absolutely. You should be loving one another in this church. Okay. No matter where we come from, no matter what your culture is, no matter what your color is, no matter how many tattoos you have, we are to love one another, right? Okay. But it's really talking to us individually, but I just thought I'd give you the pastor's speech, right? You are to love people, culture, people around you. That's what he's saying. And they'll know you're Christians by your love. I'm not singing. Okay. One more scripture, and then I'm going to get down to your three things. Galatians 5:14. Galatians 5:14. So that was Jesus who wrote that one in John. And he says, you know, giving you one commandment, just really piece of cake, real easy, love one another. And then Paul comes around, and he just kind of writes it a little bit the same, but a little different. And he says, hey, the whole law is made complete, summed up, fulfilled in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. All right? Love your neighbor as yourself. So everybody, love your neighbor as yourself. Everybody say that. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, who's my neighbor? Oh, that Muslim family that moved in next door? Yes, ma'am. Okay. How about, you know, we got a lot of goofy, the Jewish family that lives at the end of the block. Are we supposed to love them? How about the gay couple that moved in the house behind you? My good friends, they had this gay couple that lived in the house behind them. And they loved them. I learned, because I am growing, y'all. If you want it perfect, you're going to heaven. But I grew in that. And I watched my dear friends love this couple just beautifully. And they ended up, one of the guys had a problem. And who did he call? My friend Bevan Scott. They had an emergency. They came over because they were unconditionally loved. Told them about Jesus. Told them how much Jesus loved them. Told them the whole gospel. Stood firm on what they believed. But loved really big. So these guys moved away. So I don't know the rest of the story. But anyway, praise the Lord. Everybody say, love your neighbor. Okay, so you're all waiting for your three things. How can I love the culture? Number one, by what we say. By what we say, all right? You can love people, the culture around you, by what you say, all right? So say good things, you know, gracious words to them. Praise the Lord, all right? Praise God. I'm just going to skip because we're running out of time. Number two, how can you influence the culture? By how you live. By how you live. All right. Now, I'm going to say this. You cannot influence people or the culture or the world, whatever you want, but you cannot influence the culture by living just like them. Right? You cannot influence people, the culture, okay, the non-believers, whatever word you like, but I'm using the word culture. You cannot influence them by living the same way and doing the same thing that they do. You're not influencing them. Okay? And 9 out of 10 times, guess what happens? Yeah, you guys are smarter than the fifth grader. They end up by influencing you. All right? Cute little Bill Winston, Pastor Wilson, he says, don't hate me now. Don't hate me now because I'm telling you the truth. You cannot influence the people, the culture, if you do the same things. And really, they're looking for you to shine, guys, to shine. And I could tell you story after story of trying to be just like them. And next thing you know, you get down the slippery slope and it's not a good ending. Okay. Praise the Lord. I'm going to jump down to number three. How do we influence the culture? The last one is the really simple one. It's simple, but it's challenging. Love. You love people. People are wanting to be loved. People are so hurt in life. People have chewed them up, lied to them, told them they're worthless, and they just want to be loved. Now, I'm going to stand firm in the truth of the gospel, you know, what the word says, but I'm going to go full force love, man. And really, love comes in first. Love them first. Just love them, and then stand strong. Okay, love them, love them, love them. Write this down if you're taking notes. The gospel is an announcement, not an argument. My friend, Pastor Mike, I stole that from him. The gospel is an announcement. It's called the good news. Okay, you're supposed to announce the good news, share the good news, shine the good news, be salty with Jesus, okay? Not an argument. Just recently I ran into this couple and he asked me for a, what are those guys? Was it the Mormons or the... Yeah, he asked me for one of their Bibles. I was like, I don't have one of those. And the story is he has a friend, and I hope he's been shining, but it sounded more like they were arguing. And he said, listen, his friend said, you read my Bible, and then I'll read yours, and then we'll have an argument or discussion, which really meant an argument, right? It really did. And I said, oh, no, buddy, you don't need to read that. You need to just love and, you know, da, 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 da. So, again, we're to shine. You know, you just shine. Love never fails. Do you ever read that scripture? Love never fails. Love draws. Compassion. Jesus was full of compassion. Yeah, Jesus went about everywhere healing people before they were followers. I should do a little study. Probably 9 out of 10 of the people that Jesus encountered. Matter of fact, all of them were, because Jesus had died on the cross and rose from the dead. So none of them were Christians. And he just went around doing good works. And then people followed him, all right? Just do good deeds. Go love. Love is easy. Well, no, it isn't, but yes, it is. Love is easy. Doing it someday. But you know what? I go, God, I just want to rip their head off. I thank you. I thank you that you live big in me and I am done being me. What do we say? Die to self. And I let you bubble up out of me and teach me how to love. Show me how to shine. Tell me what to say. Tell me what to do so that my good deeds would just shine of you. It's pretty easy. It really is. It really is. Praise the Lord. Okay. Hallelujah. I'm done. Okay. I'm like four more pages. Hallelujah. It's always good to pray at the end. Amen. Amen. How many of you are challenged or inspired to influence your culture, influence your workplace? Some of you influence your relatives, influence, you know, just people. And you do it because you are already the salt. You are already the light. You all have the gifts of the Holy Spirit inside of you, you know, gifts that you can shine. And they're like, I'm ready. Just shine on me. Okay, people are ready. Now, they don't always know that, but I'm out there praying. And I actually have a game at it. I really do. I love walking into these grocery stores and I just pick the grumpiest old person. It's like a game I have. Like, oh, there's that grumpy old person. I'm just going to go up and I'm like, hey, how you doing? I really like that bird on your shirt. Is that an eagle? I just start talking to people with nice smile. And nobody's ever gotten mean on me. Yeah. Watch out what happens today, right? Yeah, okay. No, Dee, Pastor Dee, be quiet. Okay, let's stand up and pray. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word that opens our eyes of our understanding. Today, Father, truth has been shared. I thank you that we've grabbed hold, that we are salt. We are the light. And you have called each one of us to influence the culture so they will see you and be lights themselves. So I thank you. We take the challenge. By the way, that's your homework. Who can I influence this week? Who can I salt all over? Who can I shine? That's your homework. And I thank you, Holy Spirit. You bring people so that we can be that. In Jesus' name, amen.